been talking, we got right speaking about discussion about last week. We said in order to build lasting success, we must be able to overcome barriers. And I started a part which I think the 5 points I was going to go through, and I talked about the first two, about what are the barriers we have to overcome and how to build lasting success. So how to build lasting success through overcoming the barriers. So we got to make up our mind that if we want to have a lasting success, we have to be willing to overcome barriers, because everything put in front of you, we can either make it a wall, or we can make it a stumbling block, or we can make it a stepping stone. You know, the thing about a stone is that a stone does not determine its purpose when it's in the way. It's whoever comes in front of a stone that determines what that stone has been there for. So if I have a stone in front of you, you can just go look nowhere and trip on that stone. The stone wasn't there to say, I'm going to trip this person today, right? Stone was just there. You just walk in willy-nilly, not looking at anything, and then you tripped on the stone. But here's the thing. Someone can pick up that stone and put it in the right place where the stone is needed and step on that stone and reach what they need to reach. So in some cases, the stone could be a stumbling block, but in other cases, the stone could be a stepping stone to return it and to obtain what God has said. So today, what are the barriers in your life? Are they stepping stones, or are they stumbling blocks? Today, I believe that God is equipping us with what we need to do to overcome the barriers and for success, and also build lasting success. We're going to turn our barriers into stepping stones. Someone with me today? Say, we're going to turn our barriers into stepping stones. Hallelujah. So I talked about the first barrier we overcome, and it's that there was sort of a barrier to winning and having built an lasting success was inspiration, lack of inspiration. And then we went further and talked about how do we overcome that, and we talked about you got to build on godly principles. You've got to know that what is that thing that drives you every day, and the anchor of anything that drives you every day is the Word of God. Everything in this world is fleeting, shows up and goes. But one thing that would always remain constant is the Word of God. And we said, if you want to be inspired, build your life and build your success on a firm foundation that is not easily moved. A foundation that is the rock, not the sand. Because when rains and the storms of life come in, it's easy for things to get derailed out of your life. But when you're anchored in God, then there's nothing that can derail it. COVID can come and go, but you're not moved. They might lay off, they might hire. You're not moved because you know you're anchored in the things of God. Is someone saying amen with me? We brought about the second, which is a lack of focus. And we said lack of focus is no one can hit a target that they cannot see. And if we want to become anything, we've got to have a focus. The biggest thing that derails many people, that derails any man, is distraction. Have you ever woken up one day and decided that I want to do this and this and this, and then something comes up and distracts you? I can tell you how many days I've written down my goals and here's what I want to achieve. And then one email comes in, or maybe one news. And that news leads to, the way they carry news is this way. You read the first one, listen to the next one, listen to the next one. And next thing you realize, you're 10 minutes into the news and 10 minutes away from the goal you plan to achieve. So what's that? Distraction. Focus is one thing. When we have focus and a strong focus, then you will always get to the end. Even if you don't get to the end, you will feel like you've achieved a lot. And so we have to go back to the rule of having a focus. And we said, listen, things are going to come in your way to derail you or to get you off. It's okay to be flexible with things in life, but understand that don't lose where you're going. Don't determine, don't decide that because you didn't get that job, you can't still become where you need to be. I always tell people when I was tutoring, I would say to them, don't let your second grade teacher determine what you're meant to be. What I mean by that? There's some second grade teachers that did not pass math in their own class. They didn't pass math. They just, because they knew they were going to be teaching elementary, they decide, you know what, you just need a C to pass this class. And then they put them in elementary and decide, now start teaching mathematics. And so they teach the children, and I'm not saying not all teachers, yeah, I'm just giving an example here. They teach the children the most difficult way to learn is grab something, and now they've passed on to that child why math is difficult. And so I always tell people, I said, don't let someone's bad day or bad lack of a non-understanding determine what you're supposed to be. What did you dream to become? I want to become a doctor. Then you will just find who knows how to treat math real good and you get good at it. Don't let your C in a subject determine that you cannot get to the future. You know the beautiful thing about the future? It does not depend on the past. The future does not depend on the past. People say, well, is that true? What happened? I did that one. The future is not hanging on to your past. Why? Because if the future was going to hang on to the past, it would not be, you would not be given a gift of what is called the present. The present is a gift because it's the juncture to say, I'm living, letting go of yesterday, I'm moving on to tomorrow. God gives us every day today as a gift to elevate your tomorrow. Your past can never be added to. So all we have to do is take today and be able to add to tomorrow. And I say that again, your future is not dependent on your past. No matter what mistakes you have made in the past, listen, you have a gift today. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. When you woke up this morning, you have a brand new gift. And God says, make do of today what you want to reflect tomorrow. Listen to this. You might say to me, but what does that mean? That I get down to the word because I think it's one of the points here. What does that mean that I've got to be ready for tomorrow? Every day of the day is an opportunity to be ready for tomorrow, because if you stole yesterday, you have today to correct it so you're not called thief tomorrow. Are you with me? If you lied yesterday, you have today to correct it so that by tomorrow they wouldn't call you a liar. The only opportunity they have to call you a liar is with today. You were a liar yesterday. But don't make tomorrow pay for what you did yesterday. You have an opportunity to make that difference today. Every day is a gift. Tell your neighbor, every day is a gift. If I can inspire you to see that every day is a gift, then you can become anything God has called you to become. Success will no longer be a far-fetched thing, because success is not written. And what happens to many of us is that we think we cannot be successful, so we cannot be. So we are not, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You need to change that thinking. If your thought process yesterday was, I cannot, well, yesterday to make you can, think I can, so that tomorrow you will. Today is the I can day, tomorrow is I will. Today's I will day, tomorrow is I did. Hallelujah. And we said, and we talked about that and said, you know, be flexible and be able to sacrifice. Now let's go to the next one. The next one I want to talk about today is number three now, overcoming barriers to building lasting success. The barrier we want to overcome is laziness. Aha. This is the time when the sister is looking at the brother and saying, he's talking about you. I won't say the spouse is looking at her spouse, but I would say the sister is looking at the brother, say he's talking about you. Laziness. Laziness grows on people. It begins like a cobweb and turns out to be an iron chain. It starts like a cobweb and then it becomes an iron chain. Laziness is not, nobody just wakes up and then becomes start lazy. You start with the little things. Whatever you let go, whatever you just ignore, begins to grow. And then you realize that I've allowed that. What's the big deal? You know, the thing I've learned in life is that we pay attention to the big things. To the big things. And when we confront the big things in life, the big things begin to shape our mindset. And what I mean by that is, you pay attention and say, I want to get this thing to be broken. And then we look at that thing and say, no, it's too big to be broken. There is no big thing that became a big thing. And sometimes we all look for a big knowledge or big readiness or big, I'm able to beat this thing. What we don't realize is the little things we do compounds to push the big things down. I gave us an illustration a few weeks ago. I don't know which one it is now. A few weeks ago. It was when I said, if you want to lift up anything, If you have the right leverage, you can lift up anything. You can use a small effort to lift up a car. Let me give an example. How do you jack up your car? How do you change your tires? Now, you can park yourself under that big thing that's at the dealership, but when you have a tire flat on the way, what do? You take a jack. And what do you do with a jack? And if I tell you lift up your car, you would not be able to do that. But what you do is just take one small rotation every time. One small rotation every time. And that small rotation over time lifts up a car. And so if we're lazy, don't look at the big things, because the big things will begin to derail you. If you're lazy, big things will derail you. But all you have to do is think about what you do in the small things. If you want to change your weight, it's not going to happen overnight. Start with the small things. If you want to get knowledgeable, it's not going to happen overnight. Start with the small things. I was just sitting down with my wife and I was talking to her. I said, do you know what the power of sitting down and meditating for 20 minutes? Nothing. Don't think about anything at all. Just sit down for 20 minutes and play worship music behind and choose not to think about anything. You will feel more refreshed than if you had slept for a lot of hours with a lot of things on your mind. 20 minutes. You cannot afford to let cobwebs become iron chains in our lives. Lazy people hardly try anything, but they take their times to tear down other people's work. Have you ever understood that most lazy people can critique things? Most lazy people know what is good and what's not. They can tell you exactly how it works, but have never done it before. Hallelujah. So, you know, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 24 and 24 verse 33 and 34, so you can see where the scripture says this. It says 24 verse 33, says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. The scriptures make us understand, you know, in Proverbs chapter 6, and I think it's from verse 8. Proverbs chapter 6, let's go to verse 6. Proverbs chapter 6, I believe verse 8. It says, verse 6 actually, from verse 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Now, you sluggard means you slow person or lazy person. Consider your ways and be wise. Which, having no captain or overseer or ruler, provides the supply in the summer and gathers the food in the harvest. And it says, how long will you sleep? How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? And then it repeats the same thing there. See, laziness brings about poverty. And if we don't want to be poor, we cannot be lazy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. I think the team is working really fast today, so I rely on them. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, the scripture says, can we read that together? Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. You know, you see something small in a place and you go, oh yeah, I'll fix it tomorrow. The biggest enemy of your present is later. The biggest enemy of present is later. I'll fix it tomorrow. And so it compounds, right? If you don't do something, it compounds. If you do something, it compounds. We have to choose to make a difference. And it's not about making the biggest difference. It's making difference to the smallest things you can control, as long as you're compounding and you're consistent in that. John Maxwell says something. He says, consistency compounds. It says, if I ever learned anything in my life, I learned the fact that consistency compounds. What are you consistent in? I hope it's not that you're just sleeping. Because the scripture says, if he consistently compounds in sleeping, your poverty will come. Amen. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Maintain. And so what we need to do when it comes to that, to rebuke and get out of laziness, is one of the things we have to do is really to build success is maintain a firm grip on reality. You see, many believers, I think, are the laziest people on earth. I say this because I have seen more believers spend more time praying than doing. I see more believers doing more waiting than actions. I'm not saying don't pray. Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible says pray without ceasing. But I know that Jesus said, I must work the work of him. That there is a time to work, there's a time to pray. Jesus was not praying when he needed to be working. As a matter of fact, Jesus prayed in the middle of the night so that during the day he could work. He says, I must work the work that of him that sent me while it is day. For the night comes, we are not supposed to work. When we spend more time doing them, let's just go to the mountain and fast 40 days on one thing. I wonder what's going to happen on every decision of your life. We got to fast 40 days and fast 40 days. I want to be clear. I'm not saying don't fast. I think you're right as a believer to fast, but don't be lazy about doing because we want to just fast. I wonder what more God can give us. He's given everything and he finished. He said, it is done. It is finished. It says, I looked at it, it was very good. Even you, say to your neighbor, even you. He looked at you and said, it was very good. And so God has given us, I don't know if that's the part I have to do. Yeah, no, that's the other part, yeah. So God has given us, yeah, it is. So God has given us the part to do. As a matter of fact, in the book of James, chapter 1, or James, book of James, and the scripture says that I think chapter 1, it says that faith without works is dead. Now, Abraham, God could have said, leave your father and say, Lord, tell me when I need to go. Tell me where I need to go. And he would still be in the same place. Because, Lord, tell me, you have not spoken. I didn't hear him clearly. And then, God, which one do you want me to go? When do you want me to go? How do you want me to go? Who should I go with? You know, he didn't pray about taking Lot. But that did not derail God's purpose for his life, because obedience, when you obey, God is able to respect that above anything else. When God told Abraham to go, he picked up and he took Lot along with him and he went. It was not until, I think, Genesis chapter 14 that God said to Abraham that you need to separate from Lot. But nothing derailed Abraham when he was moving from where God called him. Why? Because obedience, the ability to do, was more than anything. God said it was counted to him as righteousness. What has God said to you and me to do? How many businesses have you dreamt about? How many things have you imagined? How many times have you been afraid to ask for that raise? How many times have you been afraid to do the work? How many times have you been lazy at work? Because I've learned in my life, I've had hired Christians at work, and my biggest I shared that recently with somebody, the biggest people that I found, how would I put it, the biggest mistakes I have found were people are hired because of Christians, because they were Christians. I shared that with someone recently. You know, I saw one that says, I volunteer in church. I'm thinking, man, this guy knows to do the work, right? And so I hired them. A few months later, didn't do anything, to the extent that it was fraudulent, and they went ahead and said it was going to go to a doctor, didn't go to a doctor. The HR asked for a letter of where he went to doctor. He just went online, printed something, and put his name there and signed it and left. And I said, okay, can we see after lunch? He went to lunch, never came back. And truth be told, I mean, he was qualified, but one thing puts you above others, right? Like, okay, this is a believer. Well, we can agree together. We can work together, right? It's just, you know, when I was sitting now and I was working many years ago, one of the things that guided me was not what my boss thought. What guided me was in Colossians chapter 3. The scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all of your heart. Do it as unto God, not unto man. Man will give you a reward, will give you your pay, but reward is what God gives you. Let me say that again. Man gives you a paycheck. God gives you a reward. And the reward is never as tangible as a paycheck. It may not be as tangible as a paycheck. A reward could be access. A reward could be somebody recognizing that. A reward could be someone being you've been pulled out of this surrounding. Let me say that again. Man gives you a paycheck. God gives you a reward. That's why the scripture says, scripture says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, do not be weary in doing good, for you will reap if you faint not. Didn't say you get a paycheck. So God is not interested. I mean, it's good that you're getting a paycheck. That's a work. A laborer is worthy of his what? His wages. But here's the thing, God wants to give us a reward. We cannot afford to be lazy. When they ask for one, go two. They ask, Saul asked for 100 foreskins. David gave 200 foreskins. And then some people might say, well, they just want someone to use. Here's the thing. If you're working for somebody, you feel used. If you're working thinking that my doing is for God, God sees it, then I don't need human beings' approval. Do what you check the boxes for humanity, human beings, because it's necessary. But if you're looking for God's blessing, it goes beyond a paycheck. Goes beyond a paycheck. I may not be able to repay you. I may not be able to give you to give you the best of what I can. Your boss, there's some people that I want to give more to, but I cannot. But here's one thing I know. If my prayer for them, because I know I cannot, if my prayer for them is that they will be blessed, they will be blessed. Many years ago when I was working in one company many years ago, I did not know. I was just kind of doing my work. And then there was this guy, you've heard me say it, came from a corporate office, and he came and pulled up a chair right next to me and sat down. And they made fun of me all this time at work because they made fun of a guy making fun of me. This is a true story. My cubicle was you came inside the office, you had to go through to the middle, then you had to go to the left, then you have to go to the corner, the last cubicle where nobody thought. I thought I was in a place where I could be quiet in my own way. My cubicle had no window, no door. As a matter of fact, if there was fire alarm, I was going to be the last person to get out of the room. So I was one of those people that when the fire marshal comes around, they have to step aside to say, you know, if you bypass, you won't see me. Step back and say, oh, okay, you're there. And you can't even see because the cubicle was covering the desk. So you had to walk close to the end and wait there and say, is he still there? And this guy came from a corporate office. And I'm not saying this because I think I am the best worker. No, I'm not saying this. But I just had this mindset, and this is what I really believe, that God can find you even in hidden places as long as your work honors him. This guy came from nowhere for a corporate office, and they never come to see anybody, come to see the bosses. And so they came in and walked all the way through, walked around, pulled the chair from next cubicle and sat down and said, so you're the caller I've been hearing about. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know whether to say yes or no. Because I don't know what he's been hearing about. I didn't know whether to say yes or no. If I say yes, aha, you're fired. If I said no, it'd be like, I don't know what it was. So I'd be like, see, I was going to give you a reward and and now you missed it. So I'm there, never met him. I've heard about him. But it's one of those names that you hear that you never thought you could, because I was not going to corporate office at that time. I was just new engineer. So I'm sitting down there, I'm just there. He goes, you know that, okay, yeah. Said, no, it's not a bad thing. I can remember his name. If I say his name, I don't want it to, he's retired now. And he began to say certain things that he heard about me. And I was surprised, and I said to myself, where on earth did this guy hear anything about me? But here's the thing. Just like God can send someone from nowhere to be a blessing there, if you are lazy at what you're doing, you won't make any impact. You'll also be known to be the lazy one. Let me say one more time. The work you do, man give you what? A paycheck. God gives you what? A reward. So I don't know about you, a paycheck is only good for my needs of the moment. A reward covers my needs that I've never even seen. You wonder why God's linking you with somebody you did not know. Because it's a reward for something you're going to see. It's a reward for something you haven't seen yet. I'll say it one more time. A paycheck gives me my needs for the moment, But a reward gives me a need, because God is the one that sees the future beyond what we can. Somebody say amen. And you can hashtag that if you want to. Hallelujah. And so we have to maintain a firm grip on reality. Nothing happens until you do something. See, God has and will always do his part. But you have a part to play. Never lose touch of your present reality. The opportunities around you today are the raw materials to build the future. You know, the woman with the widow with the jar of oil, that was the last thing she had. But she could have said, this is my last thing. And that's what she said. Let me go ahead and prepare and die. Or God could say, that last thing you've got, that little thing that seems insignificant, or that thing that seems like the biggest thing, that extra effort. Yeah, I know you've gone to work all day, but the church needs someone to teach the children's class. I know you've done this all day. I know you don't have this kind of thing, but God needs you in some place. I know that you're not, you know, you have a let my people sing voice, but God needs a choir member. I know. And we can sit down and say, God, I'm not gifted in that. I know you're not gifted, but you see, God has given you muscles. Go to church and pick up people's car seat. You can say, Lord God, I'm only good for organizing. I'm only good for beautification. God says, well, why is my church bare? It's amazing when we don't want to do something, we limit what we're gifted in. When we're inspired by doing something, we talk so much, even more than what you have. You know, someone says, have you done before? And you're inspired. Well, yeah, I've done it. I can tell you. I can give you references. You know, when I was 2 years old, I was already dreaming about how to do this one. You talk more than you, that's where we begin to brag, because we want to do it. If you don't want to do it, not tell yourself it's impossible. You give up excuses of why we cannot do it. We have to run with it. We have to fight for it. We have to maintain a grip on what God wants us to do and be able to pursue that. If we want to build lasting success, there's a part to play. There's a part to pray, and there's a part you must do. Jesus came in and read the scripture and says, after he had prayed and spent time with God for 40 days and 40 nights, came out and he decided from that day, I'm going to be working for my Father. And there's still times he was praying, like I said. He took the time to pray, but there was a time to work, and Jesus never joked around the time to work. I took the disciples one time and said, can't you withstand for an hour while I go in to pray? That's why whenever he was working miracles, he didn't have to say, Lord God, now I'm about to pray for this miracle. Why? Because he had prayed the day before the day became. And so when he saw things happening, he could speak what he had already asked his Father of in the middle of the night. Somebody say amen. Okay, so let's go on with that. Now, God only created the world once, and it's up to us to make it what we want it to be. The way God opened my eyes to see this is that he put the world and he put all the resources we need. And he says, go ahead and tinkle with it. Here's the way I look at it. It's like God giving you a house. You know, one of the things that, I can't remember where it is we went. You know, if you want to, one of the things that excites a child who loves Lego is to put them into a Lego land where they spend Legos and say, be creative. You see them begin to create new things out of the building blocks in Lego. See, this world is your building block. Every day you see is your building block. Every opportunity you see is a building block. God is not going to come back and add more things into this world. He's created it once, and that's it. He died once, and that's it. But he has given you and me this earth. The Bible says the heaven belongs to the Lord, and the earth he has given to what? To the sons of men. He's given you and me opportunity to build our future with this. We cannot afford to be lazy. We have to time your time you're sleeping. If you want to sleep 8 hours, that's okay. But what are you doing the remaining 16 hours? What are we doing the remaining 16 hours? Are we counting what we need to do? Are we intentional in what we need to do? He has given us this opportunity. We look at it is that God created a canvas, right? And he put it right there, step of the canvas, and then he put paint in front of us and said, paint a picture of your future. And that's the way, that's the opportunity we get every day. But we got to see, many of us have the picture in our mind, but God has given us the paint. Paint the picture. Carpe diem is a Latin word for seize the day. Sometimes we'll wait and pray for God to change the universe to suit our own personal needs. Let me say this. Wake up. It's a new day. If you're waiting for God to change it, that's why he gives you a new day. If your bad day extended forever, there's no hope. Are you with me? If your bad day, or your bad years extended forever, there's no hope. But guess what? God gives you a brand new day. Gives you and me a brand new day every day. So that we can take a bold new step every day and become something we've never become before. And that will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. So seize the day. Paint your future. What makes you think that God is not in where you are? Look for the opportunities that God is putting your way in the moment. Why can't you get the job? You know, it's all because you make up the excuses because of around, what's going on. If you know, listen, wake up every day and hunt for that job. The difference between a hunter and a farmer is this. A farmer plants and waits. And twiddles his tongue, his thumbs, twiddles his thumbs and just waits. And all it does is remove the weeds around the area. You know what a hunter does? A hunter, just because he cut yesterday and fed his family yesterday, a hunter's going to wake up the next morning and go hunt again. We need to be hunters. We need to get up every day and say, what is today for? It's a brand new day. There's an animal there that needs to be harvested. And a hunter, a friend of mine, friends of mine that used to go hunting, one of these days I probably would love to do that. Friends of mine that used to go hunting, will wake up 3 in the morning, go stay in the cabin and wake up 3 in the morning. It's hunting season, I think starts in November, October. And 3 in the morning in the winter. And then they go and sit deer stand. And then they begin to wait for the deer. And so until the deer comes around, and then they harvest the deer, and they can do that, and then lunchtime they go eat lunch, and then the evening period they come back again. They wait and wait and wait. They have to, they make sure that their smell does not put the deers off, and they wait, and then, but when hope deferred makes the heart fonder, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when a desire accomplished, when they harvest the deer, all that wait was worth it. That 3 a.m. was worth it. You may not see the reason why you're doing what you're doing, but don't be lazy. Wake up every day, get back on the saddle. The life will deal with you this its best, but God has greater things for you. Wake up every day, start again, try again, because that thing was not meant to put you down. We're talking about barriers to overcome. It is not meant to put you down. It's meant to what? Get you on top. Some of those experiences you have in life, you would not be where you are today if you did not experience the things you did. I'm not saying they were the best things ever, but who you are today, part of it is your experience you have. But why don't you create the future that you want today with what you do, the future you want tomorrow with what you do today. Every day is your canvas. Paint your future. Your future. I'll say this again. You've often heard that the devil finds work for what? Idle hands. Don't waste this day. Today is the best day yet for you. I don't care what today has brought. It's still the best day. I woke up today and I've had a very busy day. I missed a text from my dad earlier today. And this evening I saw him and I said, I'm sorry, I had a busy day. A very, very busy day. I heard some news yesterday that was not so encouraging to me. But I was telling my wife and my wife and children were just okay with that news. Like, oh, everything's fine. I heard some news, but I'm thinking, it doesn't matter. You know what? Because God has given me a brand new day. And this brand new day means why I can still stand upright. There is hope. The Bible says there is hope for the living. While I'm still alive, there's hope. Doesn't matter what the news is. That news is not meant to put you down. It's meant to make sure you're attuned to what God's purpose is. It makes sure it gets you stronger. Hallelujah. Thomas Edison said something. He said, we often miss opportunity because it is dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Tchaikovsky said something. He said, inspiration is a guest that does not willingly visit the lazy. Number 4, Number four is fear. Fear is a barrier we all have to go over. Fear, it's not that many people don't desire to succeed. It's because they're just paralyzed by the fear of failure. The fear of failure. The fear of failure. You know, fear, when someone defined it, I don't know who said it, says fear is false evidence appearing real. Do you understand? Fear is not tangible. Fear is not real. If fear, what means is not something you can see. Fear is believing something is the way you think it is. So fear is saying failure is bad. Fear is saying I will break my leg when I get there. I have not even tried it. There's a difference between being cautious and being fearful. Fear limits. Fear is a disease. There's only one way to overcome fear. Stand up to it. Fear is a bully. Fear is a bully. The only way we can overcome fear is by standing up to it. Nothing kills your fear like doing the things you fear the most. You fear. Action is the only cure for fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I don't want to quote that don't want to paraphrase. Why don't you just read it? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, spirit of boldness, spirit where we can sound and say, Abba, Father. So rather than fear, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be fearful. Do not worry about many things. But in all things, through prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Fear derails us from the best of God. The solution is confronting, starting. Don't overthink, just do. Dale Carnegie said something. Said, inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy. RWE says something, Ralph Waldo Emerson says, he who is not every day conquering some fear has not learned the secret of life. If you want to grow, conquer fear. If you want to grow beyond where you are, challenge something that was always a difficult thing for you. Conquer something that you've never conquered before. Take a bold step in a place you've never taken before. Be like, what's that thing? Star Trek. Go to a place nobody has gone before. No Trekkies here? Okay. Go to a place if no one has ever gone before. We want to be able to get to places. You see, if no one dreamt about the space, they would not have been there. But you have to be bold enough to run and see that I can. I have all the things. What does the Bible says when it says he has given you all things that pertain to life and then godliness? Life is the one we live here. Godliness is with God. He's given everything to become a believer, and he's given everything to live this life. So why the only limitation is not God? Because he's giving everything for both of them. Don't limit the best of what God can do in our lives, in your lives. Somebody say amen. How do we need to get out of fear? Courage with humility. See, the Bible says God resists the proud. This is what we need to do to build success. And he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. I don't have time to read it, but I would have talked about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, where he had Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And let's go, Daniel. I'll just go ahead and read it now, anyway, while we're here. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Says, it pleased... And that was not that one. That was a different one. But let's read that one. This is about Darius. Now, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, or to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would not suffer, would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. When God asked Joshua, and after Moses' death, he said one of the things God told Joshua was, be courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be bold, be strong, and be of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers and to give them. In verse 8, it said the same thing. In verse 9, it said the same thing. It says, only be strong and be courageous. If we are going to become what God wants us to be, we have to be strong and be courageous. You know, I don't know, I forgot the saying about something. Anyway, I'll give you a paraphrase. It talks about, you know, the bold ones, right? The bold inherit what they have in mind, what they set their mind to do. Those who take the bold step, those who are courageous in life, would always have a reason to rejoice, to attain. Those are the people that have ability to get to what they have set their minds to. We need to learn to be bold. You know, I love what Helen Keller said. This is very important, very, very important. She said this, and this is for those who have the fear of failure or fear of things in life. She said something. She says, avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. Did you get that? The fearful are caught as often as the bold. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. If you do nothing, you'll be talked about. If you do something, you'll be talked about. If you don't take a step, someone will say something. If you take a step, someone will say something. If you don't run for president, someone will think you're incapable. If you run for president, someone will think you're incapable. The bold are as, the fearful are caught as often as the bold. If you got an opportunity, do something. Take a bold step. Say to your neighbor, take a bold step. Step out into it. Don't hold back. But in all you do, ensure you don't do it out of pride. Courage is different from pride. Don't be like the guy who jumped in the lion's den saying, I can do it, or God will help me. That's not courage. There's a fine line between that and foolishness. You know, my boss always says this. She goes, shoot for the moon. Shoot for the moon, and if you fail, you might land on the stars. Shoot for the moon, and if you fail, you might land on the stars. In other words, there's no extra effort to have a faith for eyes to be seen and faith for people to be healed. It's just faith. It's just faith. Last one. Average mentality is a barrier we have to grow over. Average mentality. You cannot grow beyond your current mindset. I didn't say this one, but I'm going to tell you this. You cannot grow beyond your current mindset. We got to get over the barrier of average mentality. Mediocrity is the same way. Just enough. Let's just do the barest minimum. Let's get by. That's what is called average mentality. If it is too big for your mind, it'll be too big for your life. I didn't say that, so don't put my name behind that hashtag. If it is too big for your mind, it is too big for your life. When the people of Israel were going into the promised land, they sent out a spies. Moses sent out spies. And 12 of them, including Joshua and Caleb. They went there and they fought in Numbers chapter 13. And they saw. And the moment the others saw that, they were discouraged. But Joshua and Caleb saw that and said, God has given this to us. You see, it was not too big for their mind. And why is it that they were the only two that saw the promised land? Other people who thought, you know what, the only difference, let me say this, the only difference, the only thing that allowed Joshua and Caleb to see the promised land was what they saw in their mind. That's the only difference. Now, if you say because Joshua was the right one to take over Moses, that's okay. I agree with you. Yes, Joshua. What about Caleb? What qualified Caleb to get into the promised land? Someone say, believe. The sword in the mind. What are we seeing in the mind? I've told you God has given us this canvas to paint a picture. If you're not dreaming big, someone said, dream no small dream here. If you're not dreaming big, then you're reducing your ability, you're limiting your future. But the question is, well, if everybody dreams big, last time I dreamt really big and I didn't get where I'm going, I'm just tired of just having thinking. There's a difference between wishful thinking and dreaming big. Because if you go through the series we've talked about, you can go back to it because there's a vision part, there's a goal part, there's a writing down, there's a just do it, there's a learning part, there's all those things, wisdom part that builds all those things. That's why I call success emotion, right? When I talked about that. Dreaming big requires hard work. Dreaming big because hard work. So, you know, no one can place a limit on your success or your future or your life than you. Live every day, live every job like a training ground where you know you would always learn. Don't limit your thinking. Limited thinking comes from limited reading. Limited life comes from limited thinking. Limited thinking comes from limited reading. For as a man is, as a man thinketh, so is he. You don't know until you have read. Say that one more time. Limited life comes from limited thinking. Limited thinking comes from limited reading. Challenge your mentality. If you think you're not where you need to be, ask what you need to change. Okay? It's all about read for beyond yourself. Read yourself. I love this. Expand your thinking above you, okay? Read yourself out of your job. You hear that? Read yourself out of your job. Read yourself out of your job. Develop yourself to your next role. Don't wait for them to call you. Develop yourself to your next role. No one will give you this, so don't allow yourself to be limited with an average mentality. Instead, what we need to do to have success is what? Be a what? A generational thinker. A success without a successor is a failure in disguise. Let me say this. Never build for today. Always build with tomorrow in mind. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, I talked about that when I said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In John chapter 17, verse 20, the scripture says then that, and it was talking about, Jesus was talking, it was saying here, he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus was speaking in the future, was talking about beyond himself. He was leaving a legacy. He was a generational thinker. I wrote down there, want to see a different future? Think differently. Now think about living more for the generation after you. For your future. Leave a better future for your children. Build succession into your success. Build succession into your success. Think beyond that. God's blessings is to the fourth generation, not just the first. So if you think you've arrived and everybody else must worship you, you're not a generational thinker. When you're a generational thinker, you'd find yourself ahead of a curve, a forward thinker. You'd never be stuck in the past. You know, one of the people you should get rid of in your life is people who say, this is how we've always done it. Many years ago, I was conducting a project, and I was sitting down in a place, and it was novel. They've tried for many years. They've not gotten that. I was given the responsibility to do that. I was just a new manager at that time, just working with them. And so I had these guys who've been managing for 20 years and 30 years, and I had to implement things. And one of the most difficult things you have to do in an organization that's been the same way is change management. And they've been looking at management for a long time. So I sat down there, and I go to every one of them, and I'm helping them with certain things. And this particular manager was very, very, did not want to change. Off the bat said it would never work. And you know, the moment you tell me it can never work, you just ignited something else in me. Because that's what made me go, now who just died and made you king of what's going to work? You know, we just died and made you a king. And that just ignited something in me. So he sat down and said it would never work. And I said, I just didn't argue with him. I said, okay. He would come into the office and said, you know, tell me the history of everybody. That one was left out. They called me to become the senior manager to run this whole thing. And I just told them I'm not going to do, you know. Those people can never be successful. And he would say all these things all because I'm asking him to do something. I'm hearing all this history. That's okay. I came for a purpose, so I'm writing what he needs. And so every time we go to a meeting, there was always, have you done this? It's not done that one. Have you done this? Not that one. He's always giving me this excuse as why this would never work. And one day we're in a meeting and he said, itch. And we, you know, saying, you know, he said, these people there, it was, they can't read. He said they're from different places. They can't read English as much. So I said, I'll translate into the language. And said, I said, I'm going to conference school. I said, I'll have someone to translate while I'm there. He said, but how would they know what they do? I was giving the solutions to everyone. And they got there, said, these people cannot read. I said, well, I'm about to buy a computer. I need money for computers. I told my boss I need money for computers. So if they can't read, at least I can put it there. Everyone can see a picture. They said they will never get it because you have to read what is called a quality statement. You have to understand that. You have to be able to say it. If you can't say it, you have to be able to explain what you understood by it. And it took me weeks to help these people understand. And so this guy came to the meeting and said, it cannot be done. Because that's not the way we do it. This is how we've always done it. And I said, that's why we're always the same way. I said, that's the exact reason why we're still the same way. Because that's, if we keep doing what we've always done, we always get what we've always gotten. So I told him, guys, I said, if you want to change, you got to make up your mind and do something. Well, he all had this belligerence and was like, oh, no, this is where you get mad. And he has this very short temper. Got mad and walked away. So I remember the last day before Christmas, I told my boss, and my boss could see me working hard. And my boss was all of our bosses because I was the newest manager. And the boss sat down there. And when we sat down, this guy was having his own day. This last day going for Christmas break. Everyone's sharing gifts and stuff. And so I'm going, this is giving them my plan about what I'm going to be doing next year about that same thing. This guy, he brought his own rhetoric and said, it can never work. It's never work. My boss just slammed his hand on the table and said, we need to get it done. You either get up with the program or you find another place to go. Well, needless to say, my computer's arrived. Needless to say, it happened. Because I was saying I have to, no, there's no space for a computer. There's no, I mean, he was giving all this. He said, you didn't get with the program, or you just find the place you want to go. Now, what am I saying there is this. If you're a generational thinker, the people that will come in your life are only going to limit where you want to go. Are you seeing where you want to go? Nobody just was created to limit you. The job of every coach is to help you get there. A coach is not to. A good coach does not coach you the way they see it. It coaches you the way you see it. If you see yourself that way, it's the job of a coach to remove the blocks along the way. Not to say, well, I don't see that happening. One of the biggest things I try to do, not to speak my own opinion until it's solicited or I ask, is it okay if I share my thoughts about it when I'm coaching somebody? Because there's already, I mean, I'm not there. God gave you something in your mind to get it. Hallelujah. That being said, we have to be different. Think differently and you end up being different. If God has called you to be what he has called you to be, then be a generational thinker. Go beyond the normal level you've been. Go beyond what you've seen. Imagine that you're a gift to this nation. God created you for success. He created you so you could, the ideas you have in your mind, no one has it. If you do something about it, only those who do something about the ideas make a difference. Every time you have something in your mind, think about it, God is already sharing with so many other people. But no one has it the way you got it. Now the difference is those who do something about it. Be a doer, not a hearer. You've heard the word today. What are you going to do about it? What's going to change in your life? Because you now know that God wants you to be successful. Because you now know that the barriers were not meant to limit you. What are you going to do differently? And that's the question for you tonight. Amen. I want to take a few minutes to see if there's any questions on that or if any questions here.